just, I'm going to be talking for a few minutes about what I have been thinking about this passage. Because this passage, when it's seen in its context, in the context of the whole arch of Revelation in Scripture, not only tells us how Jesus was using his scriptures to guide his thinking about who God was calling him to, but when we read it in the light of his lived ministry and life, we can see how he adapted the passage that he read on that scroll in that holy place to the realities of his time and his place. And he did this so that the truth in the passage that he was reading could stay true in the different time and place that he was living. By keeping the spirit but changing the details, Jesus was able to fulfil the mission of God. The thing I have realised the more I have gone on in my faith is how much Jesus is working out of the Old Testament. I know that we all know that Jesus was Jewish, and so he would have been schooled in the writings we now call the Old Testament. But nonetheless, it's easy to overlook just how much Jesus is acting in his life and his teaching in relation to those texts. And the reason that it is important to keep this in mind, and that without keeping the actual Old Testament texts themselves in sight, we can fail to pick up quite what points he is making to the people he was speaking and ministering to. Today's text is a good example. Sometimes called the Nazareth Manifesto, this is the text where Jesus lays out his mission statement, as Louisa has said. And what Jesus says is that the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. So the model of mission that Jesus gives us here is to live in such a way that we empower and nourish others to live into the good news of the gospel. And this sounds fresh and challenging and radical even now. But we do this through the power of God, mediated through his Spirit. But what Jesus is actually doing here, though, is updating a vision of Isaiah, a prophet from Jesus' Hebrew scriptures, who wrote about 700 years earlier, and who made points about what God wants from his people in a very specific context. Isaiah came from Jerusalem and wrote about unjust power structures at the time of the Babylonian Empire when he was writing. So Isaiah says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness the prisoners." And he also says in another place, "Is this not the kind of fasting that I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear." And what you will have doubtlessly spotted is that there is a lot of similarity between the passages, the ones from Isaiah and the ones from Luke. And this is no surprise, because in the reading from Luke, Jesus was reading from the Jewish scriptures in a synagogue. But, and this is an important but, whereas for Isaiah this was prophecy, ideas without substance, a beautiful vision, but nothing more, Jesus takes this and he puts flesh on it, teaching us what the bare words meant by living it in front of us. Because of Jesus, we have a sense of what the words really mean and what they looked like lived out, and also what this might cost. And Jesus was, of course, living in a different context from Isaiah. So he brought his own flavour to the words, making them fit and speak into the time and place and politics of the Roman Empire rather than the Babylonian. And in his parables and miracles, he showed us how the vision of Isaiah could change lives in the here and now of Roman-occupied Judea and Israel, when the vision was lived into. And part of his living into the vision was to update it and who he was applying it to. Yes, he healed blind people, just like Isaiah said, and he fed the hungry. But he also ministered to tax collectors, people who created the poor that Isaiah talks about. And he helped the Roman oppressors. And so, in order to be true to the spirit of Isaiah's words, he tweaked the details, extending and enlarging who was to be shown God's mercy, so that the beautiful vision he shared in the synagogue could be revealed in all its fullness, life in all its fullness. He started a chain where the first link was Isaiah's theory, and the second link was the lived teaching, the lived example that he gave us. But like Louisa has been saying, 2,000 years on here in Derby in 2022, we are still not at the place where this vision and this example are our everyday reality. And so this is where we, as the third link in the chain, come in. As Paul says, we are the body of Christ. As St. Teresa of Avila says, he has no hands but ours, no feet but ours. We are the ones charged to make this vision, which Jesus demonstrated, real today in Normanton, in Waldbrook Epiphany. And so, just like Jesus did in his parables, we need to take these ancient words of Isaiah, of Jesus, and bring them up to date in order to breathe new life into them and make them livable here in this day and this place. Just like Jesus took Isaiah's words, the categories he was talking about, and applied them to the world that was in front of him, which meant changing some of who it was reaching out to. It meant going over borders. It meant talking to people who were scandalous, who were beyond the pale, who good religious people would just keep away from because, you know, you don't want to go there. He reached out to them so that people could understand what they meant for them there and then in their lives. And we need to do the same. And what I propose we spend a bit of time doing this morning is thinking about what these words are saying to us now in this place. So I'm going to give you a few minutes to talk in pairs or whoever's near you. And what I'm going to ask is that we take each one of those lines from the reading that we heard. So freedom for the blind, proclaim the year of the Lord's favour, set the captives free, anointed me, proclaim the good news to the poor, the spirit of the Lord is on me, all of this wonderful vision stuff, and drill down a bit and go, what does that mean? What does it mean that God has anointed us? Because it's not just Jesus. Each one of us in our baptism was anointed. And that's not just, you know, a nice thing that we do and it's pretty and there's a white robe. That is God's anointing on each and every life in this place. And with that anointing comes a commission that you are going to be one tiny little bit of that picture of the beautiful fullness of God that Jesus wants us to live into. We all have a part to play. And if you don't do your little bit, then that picture won't be complete. You know, none of us are dispensable. We are all anointed. We all have the Spirit of God on us. We receive that at our baptism as well. We all have a job to proclaim the news to the poor. So what does that mean for us? That's what we want to think about. And if you have a chat with people, you might not take all of them, you might just take one or two. And at the end, if you can jot down a few thoughts about what that has said to you this morning. And that will help Patrick at the end, because he's going to try and tie it back into the reading, and we're going to hear a bit of the reading again, updated. It's not going to be the Nazareth Manifesto, it's going to be the St. Augustine's Manifesto. And so just as with this text, which I call the Nazareth Manifesto, the mission plan of Jesus, this is to be our mission plan. And mission plans have got a bad name nowadays. They are seen as a way to avoid actually doing anything. They have all theory and no action. But before your heart sinks at the thought of more of this, what we are really talking about is clarifying for ourselves as individuals, as well as a church and a parish, what Jesus' priorities were and how they translate into the modern world, so that we can start to live into them to the full, starting this minute today and taking them with us in our actions and choices as we leave the church this morning, through the way we live our lives, just as Jesus did himself. So, a few minutes, have a chat. We've got the sheets here. If you can't remember the headings, they're all there. Pop up and have a look. And if you can just get a few thoughts down at the end, that would be really helpful. And it would give us something to take away into the discussions we're having about this. So, we are going to return to the reading that we had at the start, that Patrick read for us, and we are going to hear it again now, with the question, what would Jesus teach? What would Jesus read if he came to preach at St. Augustine's?
Right. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. And what we have for here is, he is always with us, being aware of that. Our Christian fellowship. Walking on the road to Emmaus as Christ to each other. Boldness to share the word to other people. And like being post-Pentecost, the apostles with the Spirit on us. With us. He has anointed me to pray for others, including politicians and leaders, taking responsibility, being prepared to act ourselves and speak up. Evangelism, interpersonal, preaching, community. I think this one's about giving sight to the blind as well. Events, thank you, community events. Supporting organisations with charities and external organisations and charities. Brought in, say what they do. Some can support. So I think that's supporting other organisations. Is that correct? And how we support them? Apologies. Proclaim good news to the poor. Share good news of when food is cheapest and where it is cheapest. Gathering place. Bringing the lonely together. What is the good news to us? Noticing when people are poor in health and praying for them. Prayer that drives all of this. Freedom for... Is it freedom for the blind? Sight for the blind. Show every person they are loved and lovable. They are often blind to this. Accepted for who they are. Show everyone a more Christ-like God and a more Christ-like gospel. Set the oppressed free. Focus on the areas being called to, but still remaining relevant to the area we serve. Focus on the areas we've been called to and still remaining relevant to the area we serve. Seeing ourselves as part of God's whole church and recognise other churches might be called to other areas of ministry. Recognise ministry takes place outside there with prayer. Outside these walls. The recognised ministry takes place outside these walls. Prayer. Engaging with youth in schools. What schools' interests do we have which could help church? The administration, mission, and attract others. Proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Evangelism, direct and indirect. Amen.